This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders. Handmade Films presents a Tony Bill film. Five Corners.
There are places I remember all my life.
Starring Jodie Foster.
Some have changed, some forever.
Tim Robbins.
For better. Some have gone.
Todd Graff.
And some remain. All these places.
And John Turturro.
Had their moments.
Also starring Elizabeth Barrett, Rose Gregorio, Gregory Rosakis, and John Seitz, with Kathleen Chalfant, Rodney Harvey, Daniel Jenkins, and Catherine DePruym. Casting by Doug Abel. Edited by Andy Blumenthal. Music by James Newton Howard. Costume designer Peggy Farrell. Production designer Adrienne Lobel. Director of Photography, Fred Murphy. Associate producers, Michael McDonald and John Patrick Shanley. Executive producers, George Harrison and Dennis O'Brien. Written by John Patrick Shanley. Produced by Forrest Murray and Tony Bill. Directed by Tony Bill. 1964, the Bronx. Seated before a television, a man watches Dr. Martin Luther King.
I know the temptations that we all face, but let me
He's absorbed by the speech.
In the days ahead, to recognize that we have a power greater than guns, greater than ammunition, greater than hand grenades. We have a power.
Outside, a young man strides purposefully along a street. Unshaven and powerfully built, he carries a small satchel and stares about intently. Enters a delicatessen.
Uh-oh.
The staff regard the newcomer warily.
Hello, Heinz. Long time no see.
I was in prison.
We know. And now you're out.
Yeah. I'm just out. How much for the pie?
$1.
Heinz looks at the pie, then dips in a finger for a taste.
How much is it now?
Now? Now it's nothing.
Taking the pie from the counter, Heinz puts it on the floor, then leaves. In an apartment, a stern-faced man stamps papers.
Hey,
The stamp reads, failed. Gathering the algebra papers, he stands and leaves. Outside, he strides along a street. He's impaled by an arrow and falls to the ground. At dusk, the Manhattan skyline looms across the river. The TV viewer leans on a railing, lost in thought. Meanwhile, two teenage boys set an explosive on a store's sign, then run to safety.
Wow. Am I not wonderful?
Elsewhere, two girls sit in the back of a convertible.
What are you doing now?
Hello.
No, would you just dump pills?
Those downs were garbage.
Molly, why don't you sit up here with me, huh?
Hey, don't mess up my thoughts, Sal. This is fun.
Melanie pours glue into a paper bag.
Okay, that's it.
Then inhales. She passes the bag to a friend.
I'm flying, man! I'm flying from my friggin' feet!
Sal stops the car.
A pair of freaking debutantes. Melanie, you know... Come here. You got glue all over your friggin' feet. You want to fly? I could fly too, all right? Let's fly.
As he speeds off, the girls wave their arms. Back at the store.
It is not as it should be. It's beautiful. There's too much space between the letters. My eye cannot see it together as one word.
Sal stops beside the boys.
Oh, I took two of them. It was like 11 o'clock and nothing happened.
Hey, you want a couple of broads?
Que pasa, my friend?
I want to know if you want to take a couple of broads off my hands.
What's wrong with them?
Look at them. They're ripped out of their gourds. I'm sick of looking at them in my rearview mirror. I want them out of the car. Capiche? You want them or not?
And I go to take it.
They step away to consider.
What is he saying?
He wants us to take these girls.
Really? That's marvelous. Isn't it?
$5.
$5 what?
$5 and we'll take the girls.
I'm telling you, these downs were the most serious kind of deep garbage I ever had.
They're all yours.
Sal passes over the money, then motions the girls to leave the car.
I wish I should really let you try one of them one day.
Oh, I know.
Castro.
Where's your beard?
As Sal drives off, the other four stroll away. Next morning, a new day begins for Five Corners.
Our sign. What?
I know, come on. Let's just take the stuff in.
The shop owners pick up the remnants of their sign.
Save the sign.
You want to spend money on the sign?
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Look at this.
I know. It's just a pumpkin. They had some fun.
Elsewhere, a young boy peers into a fish tank. A young man limps up toward a pet store clerk.
What are you staring at?
Oh, forgive me. I just caught a flash while you kissed me off.
Yeah, who asked you?
What do you think? You think I don't think? I know what's going on here. I know exactly what's going on here.
You don't know nothing. That's the wrong one. No, it ain't.
Hines is back. I just saw him.
Oh, he is?
You're trying to protect me.
No, I ain't.
When it's me who should be protecting you.
Yeah, like the last time.
The clerk hands a bagged fish to the boy.
This fish is a female fish.
The young man leaves.
So I don't want this one. I want that one.
Take the freaking fish and get off my back, okay? Go pay my father at the register.
All right.
Dad, I'm going to take some lunch. You hold down the fort, okay? James.
The clerk runs after the young man.
James.
Outside.
Look, you're going to have to excuse me. I know I ain't going about this the ideal way. But like Heinz tried to rape me, you tried to stop him, and now you limp.
So what?
So Heinz is back, and I got to get some protection.
I'll protect you.
You can't.
What, are you going to go to the police? They ain't going to help you. You ain't done nothing.
No, I ain't going to go to the cops. I'm going to go to Harry.
Harry?
Yeah, that's who stopped him the last time.
But don't you know what Harry's been doing? That was then. He ain't going to help you with this.
We'll see about that.
Ain't you heard? Harry's nonviolent now.
She strides away as a blaring loudspeaker is driven past.
Extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of freedom is no virtue.
Elsewhere, as his suitcase lies open on a chair, the TV viewer does up his tie. Downstairs, a woman brings clean clothes to a table.
Harry!
Yeah, Ma?
You promised you'd walk the Buddha!
Come on. Come on out, baby, come on.
She tugs on a leash to no avail.
He won't cooperate with me.
I don't really have that much time, Ma. Mother, I'm supposed to be meeting the gentleman from Snick in Harlem this afternoon.
Excuse me, Harry, who belongs to this dog?
It's my dog.
That's right. The Buddha belongs to you. I cannot walk the Buddha. I cannot do anything with the Buddha that the Buddha does not want me to do.
Okay, I'll walk him. Come here, Buddha boy.
A huge St. Bernard comes out from under a table. Outside the house, Harry leads his dog. He walks Buddha just down the street from the Five Corner shop. Above, in an apartment, Melanie and her friends sleep on mattresses on the floor. Melanie wakes.
Brita. Brita. Brita.
I got a headache.
Where are we?
I don't know. This ain't my house.
Melanie lifts soiled underwear from the floor.
This ain't my house either.
Whose house is this?
What did we do last night?
We were with Sal.
This ain't Sal's house. Wait a minute. There were some guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brita looks under her covers.
I ain't wearing no clothes.
Melanie does the same.
I am wearing no clothes, Nina.
Meanwhile, Linda approaches a house.
Mrs. Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
She opens a gate.
I'm Linda Tomkowski. Is Harry here?
No, I'm sorry, he's not. He'll be right back. You want to come in and wait for him?
Sure, yeah.
Come on.
Elsewhere, Harry walks Buddha beside a fountain pool. Stopping, he notices Heinz sitting against a wall. He approaches slowly.
Thank you.
friends. Fuck you. So they let you out.
Don't let no hair grow over to hide this scar you gave me, Harry.
You should. You look like shit.
I don't want to forget.
What? Some goon hit you over the head with a beer pitcher? Don't seem like no golden memory to me. Why don't you forget it? I'm trying to forget it. I'm not proud of it.
I had a lot of time to think when I was in that fucking hole.
Yeah, well, it's a shame you didn't use it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go walk your dog? Leave me to smoke my cigarette.
What kind, Tate? I want to say something to you. I love you.
Hines is surprised and wary.
Did a lot of soul searching while you were gone. I had a lot of bad shit happen. And I don't want to do that caveman stuff no more. I want to help people.
You love me?
Yeah.
As Harry turns and walks away, Hines considers. Back at Fitzgerald's.
Funny how things are, you know. How things are set up. You're the first girl ever to come here asking for Harry, and he's out walking the door. You know him from Fordham?
No, not from the neighborhood.
It's funny. I figured he'd go to school, meet some girl, and get married. And here he graduated in June, and he's still as single as he ever was, right?
Right. I guess so.
Got so serious after his father died. His father was a hero cop. Get to be a hero cop by being killed.
Yeah, I know about that.
Why don't you sit down?
Linda sits as Harry's mother pours some coffee.
You with the student not violent Negro thing?
No.
Harry's got it in his head to be a hero too. Harry's gonna go down to Mississippi. Him and a bunch of other heroes. Register Negroes for the vote. Those hillbilly cops down there with their third grade educations and their shotguns and their love of the Negro people. They're gonna welcome Harry the hero, my son. Make him feel the home.
Maybe I should go.
I'm sorry. Back in his bag, it was just on my mind. Why do you want to see Harry? Who's that?
Harry's mother goes to the door.
Can I?
Excuse me, Miss Fitzgerald, but Linda's here, right?
James, what are you doing here?
I just figured it out. You got a thing for this guy. This number about protection, that's just smoke. You're throwing me over so you can make a play for Harry Fitzgerald. Your son. Excuse me, Miss Fitzgerald, but I'm in love with this girl. She's pulling a number on me. I figured it out, Linda. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Bull hockey. Or maybe you don't understand what's going on, so I'll explain it to you.
I wish you would.
This one here is my girl. Last night, she breaks up with me. I feel bad. You could understand that.
Sure.
And she don't tell me why. So today, I'm eating my heart out. When I see Hines.
Hines?
A bad boy from way back. He busted my hip. He tried to rape Linda, et cetera, et cetera. Harry saved the situation. Iced Hines completely with a pitcher of beer. So, now she tells me she's breaking up with me on account of Hines being back.
You said that.
Oh, you didn't contradict me. And that she's going to Harry for protection. Now the whole world knows that Harry's out to lunch with this Gandhi thing.
Would you like some coffee?
No, I think a cup of coffee right now would give me a heart attack. Thank you. So, when I got a minute to think about it, I'm thinking it definitely don't add up. And then, bam, I understand. It must be like she got obsessed for Harry Fitzgerald. And that she's using Hines for smoke to blow on me.
James, please.
But what else could it be?
Would you like to sit down?
I can't sit down, Miss Fitzgerald. I'm a man on the move.
Sit down.
James obeys. Harry comes in.
What's this?
This? This is your life, clown.
Meanwhile, a detective gets out of a patrol car in front of a police station.
Come see me a set in 20 minutes.
He steps up to the front doors. Inside, the detective approaches a desk.
Good morning, Maxine.
Good morning.
Busy day, huh?
Hold on a second. What's your name? Sal? Don't get excited. Why don't you wait a little while, will you?
Sal is nearby.
Neither their own mothers ain't heard from them.
Well, why ain't their own mothers down here complaining about it then, huh?
Because they got a shitty attitude like you.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you take a lesson from them and just don't worry about it.
How's it going, Phil?
Good, Sully. What'd it look like?
Homicide.
Look, you gotta help me find these chicks, all right? I feel responsible for them.
Well, go and find them. Go with God. Just leave me alone, will you, for crying out loud? 33rd Precinct.
Sully walks to his office and hands an arrow to his partner.
So it was really an arrow?
Yeah, right in the back.
What do you make of that?
Indians. What happened there? Somebody tag you?
No, it's a pimple. You know, there used to be Indians around here.
You're right.
Sure. This whole area here was Indians. It was called Kiskiskek.
Is that right?
Sure.
Well, what happened?
What do you mean?
Why ain't they here now?
The neighborhood changed.
In front of a lockup, Sully hands a prisoner a cigarette. His partner punches the cage.
So who killed this? What was he?
Algebra teacher. I don't know.
Pine Zabatino's back on the street, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Think it might be him?
Maybe. But where did he learn the art of the bow and arrow?
He could have picked it up in the pen.
Who from?
An Indian? A camp counselor? I don't know.
So, we moved in, and the Indians moved out.
That's right. The Indians moved out. A Dutch couple moved in.
Who were they?
They were the Bronx. Something like John and Katrina Bronk. People used to say, let's go over and visit the Bronx tonight.
Melanie and Brita leave the apartment.
Why, this is weird. This is like the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
Castro and his buddy wait on a landing.
Hi, Brita. You get some good sleep?
He knows my name. And he's French or something.
German.
German. Is that your apartment?
No, not exactly. This is an apartment over which we have use.
Until the superintendent finds out.
Listen, someone murdered our teacher, so we got the day off. You want to go for a ride?
A ride? All right.
They leave together. Outside, they stroll on the sidewalk. Above, a birdcage is brought in from a window. Hines approaches a door, pauses, walks away, then returns. Inside, a woman holds the birdcage.
Someone there? Someone there?
It's me.
Hines, is that you?
Yeah.
I can't believe it's you.
Pushing past the woman, Hines enters. As he looks around the apartment, she smiles brightly at him.
Goddamn. I do play a little loud, but it's so beautiful. It makes me feel so good. I got your letters all the time you was gone.
I didn't write.
Oh, I know you did. Maybe I didn't get them all the time, but I know you wrote your mother. How's the asthma?
I ain't had asthma since I was 12.
Yeah, you've been gone a long time. Ooh, what a weird haircut. I'm sure it's the style now. This what I have, they call Corinthian curls. You like it?
I want to change my clothes. My clothes still here?
Yeah.
I want to change my clothes. Just the bathroom.
Okie doke.
His mother reaches out to Heinz, then giggles. He rises and walks away. In an adjoining room, he picks up a photo of himself as a child, then turns it to face the wall. At the Fitzgeralds.
Look, you don't even know he's going to bother you. When I talked to him today, it was like...
Whoa.
You talked to Heinz? Yeah. And I told him I loved him. You told Heinz Sabatino you loved him? Yeah, I did.
This is who you're going to for protection. I'm sorry, Linda. I gotta have a chuckle over this one. This guy's further out than Sputnik. Look, when you want my help, you know where to find me. Harry, all the best in Mississippi. It ain't worth it being jealous with you. You're a wacko, and you're leaving town. It ain't worth it. This is not a rival. This is a phenomenon.
James leaves.
You gotta excuse him, you know. He's just kind of nervous about himself, you know. You saved him too, right? I guess it makes him feel kind of weird. He limps around, and I guess you don't feel like, you know, like enough of a man or something.
Outside. James limps through an intersection toward a corner bar. Inside.
Ed, what's that? Good afternoon, Esther.
Hi, Jimmy.
Quiet over there?
So far.
Yeah. How's he doing?
One more and it's a knock.
The bartender removes his apron and hands it to James. Then turns and leaves.
What you drinking, Ness?
Nothing.
What was in that glass?
Let's see. That one.
Sal comes to a window.
Excuse me, Jimmy. I'm looking for Melanie. Maybe you've seen her?
No.
Nothing?
I just got on.
All right. Thanks.
He runs back to his car. Linda leaves the Fitzgeralds.
I understand you got things you gotta do. I'm just scared is all. I guess that's my problem, though, right?
Probably won't even hear from the guy. All that junk was a long time ago.
Well, what if I do hear from him?
All right, if you hear from him, call me.
Thanks.
Listen, probably only gonna be around a couple more days, and then you're strictly on your own. He probably won't bother you. All right, take it easy.
As Harry walks away, Linda turns, dismayed. In a building, an elevator door opens.
The glue is like a friggin' rock.
What a shame.
Okay.
Hey, what?
What not, Willie?
Willie hands Castro a tool.
This is a whatnot.
It's a four.
Watch. You're on the 10th floor, right?
Right.
So I pushed 9, and can you hold this?
As Melanie holds the outer door.
Yeah. And
Castro closes the inner one.
I put this here.
Using the whatnot, he adjusts the inner door. The elevator descends one floor, leaving the top open. He passes the tool to Willie.
Well, this is the ride I promised you.
This one is for us.
On there?
Oh, that's a goof.
With Breeder watching, Willie adjusts another elevator.
After you. Come on, don't be afraid.
Melanie and Castro step onto one cab roof as Breeder and Willie step onto the other.
Sit down.
Melanie sits on Castro's knee. Apprehensive, she stares up the elevator shaft to the far-off roof.
So, what do we do now?
We wait.
Willie's elevator starts to rise.
Oh. They're gone.
They'll be back.
Melanie, take this. It's like out of space.
Yeah, it's like that down here, too.
Melanie crosses herself as the other elevator descends. Breeder and Willie kiss. With a jolt, Melanie's elevator rises. Breeder and Willie are locked in a passionate embrace. As Castro is about to kiss her, Melanie removes her gum, then kisses him. Suddenly, Melanie's elevator descends, to her delight. Wave to each other as they pass in the shaft. Now in tandem. Then apart on their roller coaster ride.
He's dancing for you.
Meanwhile, in a Harlem coffee shop, Harry enters hesitantly.
What you want, dear?
You don't want nothing, Nancy. You're just crazy, right?
I mean a couple friends.
Shoot, ain't nobody got no friends in here, sonny. Hey, give me a dollar. I may be able to get you out of here alive.
Harry approaches two men seated at a table.
Hello, Arthur.
Hello, Brother Harold. Sit down.
We haven't met, have we? You're not sure. I'm Harry Fitzgerald.
The younger man doesn't shake his hand.
This is Brother Samuel Kemp. He's been down in Mississippi for us for a long time now. He's been working with Brother Stokely Carmichael.
Can I get you something?
Yeah, I'll have coffee, too. Black. The purpose of the Mississippi Project is to get rich white kids working down here beside those of us Negroes who've been beaten up enough to satisfy a lifetime in the cause of the movement without the population up north getting upset about it. Now we figure if we can get these rich white kids to get beat up in the cause of the movement, that'll get the TV cameras rolling real good.
Here you go.
Thank you. I want you to like me, Mr. Kemp.
Kemp leans forward, removing his glasses.
I don't like you. I don't like the idea of you.
Well, what I mean is I want you to approve me for this project. I want to be on that bus day after tomorrow.
Why should I approve you? Why should Brother Arthur here approve you? Look at you. You look to me like you're made out of sweet butter. And when that Mississippi sun lands on you, you're gonna melt down to nothing but grease. They got state troopers down there waiting for you, Harvard types with a knife and fork. And why don't you go home?
I can understand if you don't like me, Mr. Kemp. I can't. I might not like you. I don't know. Yet. Let me set you straight on a couple things. I'm not rich. I didn't go to Harvard. I went to Fordham, which ain't Harvard. And I come from a place in the Bronx called Five Corners. Now, the movement has not been to this place. If a Negro, if you, for instance, were to walk through Five Corners, before you'd gone one block, people would come out of their houses and stomp your ass into the ground. Now, 2 years ago, I would have been one of those people. But something happened. And I had to change of heart. See, my father was killed. My father was shot. He was a cop, and he was shot by some kid, some crazy kid. And when I was sitting home with my mother watching the news about it on TV, the next thing they showed after that was Dr. Martin Luther King speaking. And he was talking about the power of love in the face of senseless cruelty and violence. I heard him, Mr. Kemp. I guess something knocked the wax out of my ears because I heard him loud and clear. And that's why I am sitting here now.
Was this a kid who killed your father black?
You know, I don't remember.
Back at the elevators.
Hey!
Hey, you two.
What's up?
Hey, come on this one. We'll all be on one.
Yeah!
All right.
Castro steps across to the other elevator.
Come on, Melanie. Come on.
But Melanie is afraid to cross.
I am walking around in here. Don't be a chicken ass, Melanie. It's like a sidewalk.
Come on. Come on.
As Melanie gets ready to step across, the elevator descends, leaving her stranded.
Oh, shit.
Hurry up. Come down now.
Come down.
Just step down. It's just a little while. Hurry up quickly.
I wanna go. Come.
Come on, Melanie. Just step down. Come on.
Come on, Melanie. Good girl. Quickly.
All right. Jeez.
That's it.
Carefully, she climbs over a steel bar and inches her way down.
Come on. That's it.
It's a little more.
The elevator rises suddenly, with Melanie dangling from the bar.
Oh, my God!
A disaster!
The elevator moves to the top of the shaft.
I think I'm gonna throw up.
Throw up!
Put me down!
Oh my God.
Then it starts to descend.
I'm really sorry for having offended thee, and I cast all my sins because I dread the laws of heaven and the pain of hell.
It stops just above the other cab.
Let go!
I ain't letting go.
Hurry up before it moves.
Hey, Melanie, just jump, man. Fuck it.
Why don't you jump off something if you're so freaking hot? Then jump.
Melanie, I'll give you $5 if you jump.
I know where you got that $5.
So I'm morphing it to you. You can take it and shove it up the guy's nose.
Well, you just gonna stand there or are you gonna help me down?
She climbs down to join the others.
Oh, you saved.
It was wonderful.
Oh, man. I think that I broke a nail.
Meanwhile, Linda closes the pet shop. She enters her apartment. And walks to the living room, where her father sleeps in front of the TV.
Johnson, quoted from the Oval Office, declared that Senator Goldwater's policies would lead the U.S. into a hopeless land war in Southeast Asia.
Tidying up, she walks away.
The bodies of three civil rights workers.
Outside, Hines strides purposefully to the shop. Noticing the closed sign, he turns to look in the window. Then he walks away. Inside the apartment, the father sleeps. In another room, Linda dozes at a table.
Hello?
Hello, Linda.
Hi, Hines.
Did you know I was back?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did, huh? Listen, I got you a present. Guess what it is?
I don't know, what?
I said guess.
Flowers?
No. You're wrong. Listen, I want you to meet me at 12 o'clock at the Oval Fountain.
No, I don't meet nobody at midnight nowhere.
You'll meet me.
Or what?
You'll meet me, because if you don't meet me, I don't know, something might happen. How's your friend, what's his name?
I ain't even going out with him anymore. We broke up.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you won't mind if I pay him a visit.
All right. I'll meet you.
Don't be late.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Bye, Linda.
Few weeks of uncertainty has ended in the knowledge of the murder of our son.
The news is watched by Harry's mother.
And his companions, James Chaney and Michael Schwerner. Hope, slim though it was, has passed away, and a painful certainty has come. Our grief, though personal, belongs to...
Hello, Harry?
I guess Harry's not there then, huh?
Who is this? It's Linda. This, do you know when Harry will be home?
I don't know when he'll be back.
Well, could you just tell him that I gotta meet Heinz at the Oval by the fountain at 12 o'clock? And I'd feel a heck of a lot better if Harry was there, too. Yeah, will you tell him that?
All right, I'll tell him.
Okay, good night.
People like to go to Mississippi.
Harry's mother is drawn back to the news.
Because many believe, and I have received hundreds of letters from young people all over the country expressing this belief. And if they go, if they choose to fight for equality along with the other young people there, they have my heart and they have much strength.
She turns off the set. Later, Linda leaves the apartment. Harry returns home.
Trick or treat.
Harry?
Where you been?
Been out walking.
You want a drink? Come on.
All right.
Guess it didn't go so well, huh?
Why you say that?
Because you haven't said yes to a drink in about a century.
Well, you're right. It didn't go great. Went okay.
He loosens his tie and takes a drink.
Where's the Buddha?
Come locked in the kitchen.
Why'd you lock him in the kitchen?
You're lucky I didn't send him out after you. I
told you not to lock him in the kitchen.
Harry, you've been gone 8 hours.
I've been gone 6.5 hours.
All right, 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours is a very long time in Harlem.
Mother, you worry too much.
You know what happened today?
No, what happened?
You know those three kids in Mississippi?
Yeah, Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner. What about them?
They're dead.
I know they're dead, Mom.
You mean you know they're dead? Their parents just found out.
Everybody knows they've been dead for weeks.
What do you mean, everybody?
In a bowling alley, Melanie prepares to throw a ball. Pleased with the result, she preens with triumph. Her pleasure turns to pique as Sal comes in.
I would have gotten a stripe, but without my thumbnail, I'm no good.
Ignoring Sal.
Listen.
She embraces Castro.
Did we do anything last night?
What do you mean?
I mean, I woke up with no clothes on.
No, I didn't do it.
Don't forget to sign up.
She walks to the scoring table, where Sal waits.
Excuse me.
Where the hell you been? I've been through three friggin' neighborhoods looking for you. Where you been? You been all your time with these guys?
Where have I been?
Yeah.
Excuse me if I don't feel like explaining that to you, Sal. I got a $5 bill that you gave these guys. You big shot.
What?
What? What? Don't give me that what shit.
Rushing past Sal, she strides to the shoe return counter.
Your mother is like insane. She don't know where you are. She's sitting by the phone, staring at the phone like it was a crystal ball or some shit, Melanie, but it don't ring. Because you don't call.
Shut up about my mother. Don't you mention my freaking mother to me.
They're engaged.
Willie turns to Brita.
I swear to God, they were so very married.
I'll choke you to death.
Where'd you sleep last night?
That's none of your goddamn business. Thank you.
I'm engaged, too.
Willie winces.
Really?
Yeah. Her brother Ronnie's in the Navy.
Well, you never want to do nothing.
What do you mean I don't want to do nothing?
All right, were you going to give the guy some money?
Oh. I gotta pay this guy's date. Oh, that is rich.
You gotta, like, take me dancing.
We'll see about that. Because I think that you got a few things to apologize about. Come on.
I gotta apologize to you. Right.
Sal drags Melanie away.
I'm worth 20 bucks.
That night, Linda walks in a park. She pauses. Then bends down to pick up a heavy stick. Walks on. She stops as she spots Heinz pacing beside the fountain pool.
Hi, Heinz.
He turns to face her. She slowly approaches, with the stick at her side.
Where you been, huh?
I missed you.
You did, huh?
Yeah. Out of the whole world,
You were the only one I missed.
Thanks. That's nice.
I brought you a present.
Yeah?
Turn your back.
Why?
Because it's a surprise!
Okay. Okay.
Reluctantly, she turns, clutching the stick tightly.
Don't turn around until I say. I really tried to think of something you would like.
Thanks, it's nice.
Guess I want you to like it.
Thank you, Alice.
Hines walks to the edge of the pool and bends to open a sack.
Okay, you can turn around now.
I don't see nothing.
Because you're not looking in the right place. Look in the water!
Linda turns. Two penguins swim across the pool. She smiles as one climbs onto the rock.
Wow, they're so cute!
I wanted to get you a present. I tried to think of something that you like.
Wow, they're unbelievable. Where'd you get them?
From the zoo.
You stole them out of the Bronx Zoo?
Yeah. Climbed over the fence with a bag. It's easy. No big thing. They keep them outside.
You gotta take them back, you know.
What?
Well, otherwise they'll die. They need special stuff.
They're a present.
Yeah, no, but serious now. You gotta take them back.
You like them because you like animals.
Well, I do like them, but that ain't the point.
Then you take them, then.
I can't, Hines. I mean, it won't be right. They're like wild things, you know? They ain't like dogs or some shit. They belong in a zoo. In a zoo, right? No?
You don't want my present?
No.
Snatching the stick from Linda, Hines walks toward a penguin and smashes the bird. Putting the stick under his arm, he walks to Linda. He weeps at the senseless cruelty.
So light. It's just that when somebody gives you a present, you should take it. That's all. It's all right. There's another one over there. Give you that one. And this time you take it, right? Huh?
She nods. He wades into the pool to catch the other penguin. Distraught, Linda watches as he places the bird in the sack. Climbing from the pool, he holds out the sack.
Oh, here's your present, Linda. Take it.
She accepts the gift and to stick.
What do you say?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you going to give me something?
What do you want?
Thank you, kiss.
Linda gives him a quick peck on the cheek.
That's good. Good.
I better be getting home.
No, not yet.
Yeah, I gotta get home. My father ain't feeling good. I gotta take care of you guys. I gotta fix him up with water and stuff.
Give me another kiss.
She smashes him on the head with a stick and runs off. On his knees beside the pool, Hines clutches his head. Meanwhile,
Jim.
Harry plays rummy with his mother.
I'm going to bed. If you want another drink, make it yourself.
I gotta get up early. Arthur's calling me tomorrow.
Arthur the Negro?
Yeah, Ma. Arthur the Negro is gonna call me and give me the verdict whether I go or not. Not that it didn't seem pretty clear, like I said.
Speaking of calls, you got a call.
I did. Who?
That girl, what's her name? She was here today.
Linda called. What'd she say?
No. Something like this afternoon. You already said no.
Be more specific, please.
Don't play the cop with me, sonny boy.
What did she say?
She had to meet Heinz somewhere, and she was scared.
Where?
The Oval. At the fountain at midnight.
Why didn't you tell me?
You already said no.
Why didn't you tell me?
Figure it out! You're so determined to kill yourself one way or the other. If they won't let you go to Mississippi, then you'll go out and lock horns with some nutcase here. You're just like your goddamn father, Lord have mercy on his dumbass hero soul. I'm going to bed.
I'm going out.
Take the Buddha.
What?
Take the Buddha. He needs to walk.
Christ almighty.
He picks up his coat as the dog runs past.
Bye.
Bye.
He rushes outside with the dog. James closes the bar for the night. He turns off the lights. Outside, Linda draws his attention.
It's open.
He signals for her to go to the door. She enters.
You gotta help me do something.
Come on.
Harry, with Buddha, runs beside the fountain pool. He stops suddenly and examines the ground. Then looks about searchingly. Before running off. Back at the bar.
I want to leave this penguin with you, James.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you gotta take care of this penguin for me.
Why don't you take him to your shop? You got the cages and everything.
I can't go back there. Heinz could be waiting for me.
I don't know. Why don't you go to the police?
Police? What's that gonna do? What? Because he murdered the penguin? How much time do you think he's gonna get for that? I gotta get some sleep. I could go stay at my Aunt Pam's house. No, she don't give a shit if I stay out late. We could figure about all this tomorrow.
The alert penguin captivates James.
That means that you gotta take care of this penguin for me. Tonight, okay? Okay.
Okay.
With Buddha in tow, Harry runs to the police station. Inside, they approach the desk sergeant.
Excuse me, sir. Yeah, I just don't believe in hitting my own kid, will you? There's plenty of other guys down here to hit if I want to hit somebody. All right? Hey!
Impatient, Harry walks further into the station. He stops before Sully, who's napping at his desk. Looking around, he spots Sully's partner.
Excuse me. Can I help you?
Sully rouses.
I need help.
Could you explain your problem to the sergeant at the desk?
Hey. You look just like Ed Fitzgerald. May you rest in peace.
I'm his son.
Anybody ever tell you he saved my life?
You Bigfoot Sullivan?
The very same.
Listen, I need help now, fast.
Back at the bar, James carries in a liquor carton.
Come on, kiddo.
Linda picks up the penguin and places it in some water. James sets down the carton to complete a barrier.
And I'll hold you.
You got any fish?
Fish?
Well, I thought he might be hungry.
No, I don't have any fish. Just have to hope he likes beer.
Thanks, James.
Reaching for James, Linda kisses him tenderly. Watched by the bird. James leads Linda outside and locks the door.
I don't want to walk into the neighborhood.
Why not?
Well, I told you, my Aunt Pam's only two stops away on the train.
We could take the train.
We?
Absolutely. Look, I'm protecting you now. No, wait a minute.
What?
Linda?
What?
You gotta kiss me about six times right now.
Oh. Come on, we're in a hurry.
No, it's gotta be time for this.
What if I don't want him, huh?
You got it. It's your duty. It's like a medical emergency.
One.
She begins kissing him. Hungrily, they trade passionate kisses. Arm in arm, they walk to the subway. Meanwhile, at the pool.
What is it? I think the dog sees something. It's a bird. It's a big dead bird. I thought it was a bloody foot or some shit. But it's just a big dead penguin.
So some nutcase killed the bird. That's bird blood over there. It's just bird blood.
I think it's a penguin.
So where's Lynn? Probably where we ought to be, home in bed.
Harry leaves with Buddha. At the subway.
What did you call me?
Chucklehead.
You want to stay pretty?
You want to? You like bird brain better?
Yeah, bird brain. That's
that kind of
way up there. Yeah. Yeah, it's right up there with the beak face.
Linda enters the automatic turnstile.
Hi, Linda.
Hines grabs her.
No!
As Hines attacks Linda, James drops his token. He tries in vain to recover the token.
Leave her alone! Get away from her!
Hines pummels Linda mercilessly. James tries to find another way in. Hines places the unconscious Linda over his shoulder and strides away.
Get the fuck off her!
Hines descends to the train platform. James runs through the vacant station looking for a way in. No! Finally finding a way in, James arrives on the deserted platform. He picks up Linda's sweater from the floor, then looks about in frustration and fear. Meanwhile, at the fountain pool, Sully's partner carefully places a handkerchief over the dead penguin. The detectives amble away.
Who's he calling?
He's calling the girl's house to see if she's there. Penguin?
Yeah.
Who'd kill a penguin?
An Eskimo might for food.
An Eskimo, huh? Ain't no Eskimos around here.
No. But an Eskimo is a kind of Indian.
You trying to pin this on the Indians, too?
Nah, this was Hines. There ain't no Eskimos in the Bronx yet.
Harry joins them.
She's not there. She never got home.
Call in, okay? See if anything's been reported. Hell of a dog. Saint Bernard, right?
Yeah.
He acts like a friggin' bloodhound.
Yeah, but they're rescue dogs, you know. They use them for finding people who get lost in the Alps.
Okay, we'll be right in. Hey, they just brought in the guy we should see.
At the police station.
Did you see where he went?
No, they were gone. This is all I found.
Somebody check on Heinz's mother?
We sent a patrolman over there, but the mother said she ain't seen him.
Did the patrolman stay?
No, but I sent over a plain clothes.
Good.
Sully picks up Linda's sweater.
I think we both had the same stupid idea.
Leaving the station, the detectives, James, Harry, and Buddha get into a squad car. Back inside.
Hey, I seen Sullivan just going. Travels with a dog now.
Yeah, he's a regular Sergeant Preston. Third precinct.
Sully?
Sullivan? No, he just left.
I'm just checking to say that I'm here.
Stakeout?
Yeah.
You see the apartment?
I'm looking up there right now.
Any action?
No. Nothing's going on.
All right, check in on the hour. And don't fall asleep.
Right.
Meanwhile, Sal drops off Brita.
Call you tomorrow.
All right.
Now, ready to sit up here with me?
Melanie climbs into the front seat.
Happy?
You know, Melanie, I don't like that you're always sitting in the back seat with Brita.
I can't believe that I broke the snail.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And you're all the time getting high. Tonight is the first time I've seen you and Brita straight at one and the same time in, like, I don't know, forever.
Sal.
What?
Would you please take me home? Get me tired.
On the subway platform.
Look, what's the dog's name?
The Buddha.
The Buddha. All right. Give the Buddha the sweater to smell.
Listen, I don't know if this is going to work, you know. This ain't exactly the Alps.
I don't know why you drafted this nutcase to do your job in the first place, Officer Dragnet.
Hey, look, you. I got all points out for Hines right now. I got his apartment staked out. Now, that's about all I can do that makes any real sense. But that's not enough for me, all right? So I'm down here in the friggin' subway with a St. Bernard doing something that, like as not, back in the precinct is gonna get me nominated for Hoople of the Year. Now, I can live with that, but please, don't make me think about it too much. Now, this guy is here because he owns a dog. I'm not gonna start asking why you're here unless you start busting my hump. All right? So get a stupid dog, the stupid sweater to smell, and let's see what happens.
He's smelling it.
I think he's eating the friggin' thing.
I think he's doing it.
Buddha trots off.
I think he picked up the trail.
Okay, I guess we'll follow the dog.
Outside, Buddha runs up some stairs, followed by Harry, the detectives, and James. Elsewhere, Hines carries the unconscious Linda. Approaching an empty taxi, he stops. Then lays Linda on the hood. tries the doors. Then kicks in a window. Reaching in, he unlocks a door. Then opens it. Returning to the hood, he picks up Linda. Carries her to the open door. And places her across the seat. Lifting her, he caresses her hair. Then kisses her tenderly. After setting her back down, he closes the door. Meanwhile, Buddha tracks Linda.
Look, I'm sorry I gave you such a hard time before. I appreciate what you're doing.
Is she your girlfriend?
Yeah. Nah. You know, signing off.
Don't worry about nothing. Guys like this Hines, they get wound up real good, then they bust like a $2 watch.
Stay with Sullivan, not get him! Let's go, but don't get ahead of me!
In the cab, Hines hotwires the ignition. He looks up to see Buddha staring at him.
All right, my friend, don't move, please.
Sully's partner holds a gun on him. Slowly, he turns toward the detective and glares at him. He kicks the detective's arm against the broken window and holds it there. The gun drops. Hines picks it up and shoots him. As Sully fires, Hines ducks. Harry pushes Sully away. Hines starts the cab and speeds off. James hauls Buddha out of the way. Harry leaps aside. Sully shoots at the retreating car. Holstering his gun, Sully runs to his fallen partner.
Zola! Dead?
No. Is Hines dead?
No.
Then night's over for me. But not for you.
I have you in Jacoby emergency in 10 minutes. That's it for you guys. From here on in, it's strictly OK Corral time.
Elsewhere, Sal drives Melanie, who's busy fixing her makeup.
All right, I'm sorry. Okay? I apologize.
Well, that's very sweet, but I do not accept.
Come on, Melanie. What do you want me to say? I'm sorry, I said. Don't do this to me, Melanie. I've been sick about doing what I did, okay? I've been sick about it. But you've been fucked up all the time, and I figured one day we're gonna have kids. I don't want their mother in the back seat popping pills with Brita.
Moved, Melanie reaches out to caress Sal's head. Sal swerves to miss the cab hurtling at them and stops just before hitting a sidewalk.
You all right?
What?
You all right?
Yeah. You?
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know. Some friggin' total maniac.
Meanwhile, the cop on stakeout reads in a phone booth. The girls are so pretty.
And a wheelbarrow through the streets, broad and narrow.
Looking up, he watches a car approach and pass. In the cab, Hines swerves to miss the passing car. The cab careens into the phone booth, smashing it to the ground. Hines gets out, opens the rear door, and picks up Linda. He crosses the street and carries the girl into an apartment building.
Who is that?
Me.
Inside, his mother comes from her bedroom.
Maybe you should come back in the morning and we can have a nice breakfast.
Open the fucking door!
She unlocks the door.
Oh, you brought home a friend.
Yeah. I brought home a girlfriend.
He places Linda on a sofa.
Girlfriend, that's nice. You'll probably be getting married soon and leave the nest. Should I put on some music?
No. No music.
Would your friend like something to eat? A sandwich?
No.
No. She's tired, ain't she? Let her sleep. I'll put a blankie on her.
No, I said no.
Okay. Oh, I was having the most beautiful dream when you rang the bell. Your father was still alive, and we was eating fish.
You're dreaming right now?
Me? No. I'm awake now, Heinz. Can I play some music?
No. You're sleeping.
No, I'm not.
Wake up. Wake up, Ma!
I'm not sleeping.
Look at me. Look at me. What do you see?
My boy. My little boy.
Wake up, I'm telling you.
Outside, people examine the wrecked cab. James and Harry run to it. Back inside.
Have the cops been here?
Yeah, a policeman came and asked about you before, but I told him you wasn't lost. You was just out.
Listen! I'm gonna die tonight, Ma.
No. Let me play some music.
I'm gonna die tonight, Ma. Just once. Just once. Before I die. I'd like you to see me.
I see you.
Who am I?
You're my little Hines.
Where have I been?
I don't know.
I've been in jail, Ma.
No.
I've been in jail. And now I'm out, and the cops are coming for me again. And they're gonna kill me.
No, I'm gonna go.
What's my name?
Hines.
And who am I to you?
You're my boy.
And what's your boy gonna do tonight?
His mother finally stops smiling.
Tell me. Tell me!
He's gonna die.
Hines fights back tears.
Thank you.
He reaches out and embraces his mother.
Thank you, Ma.
Picking her up, he walks to a window and throws her out.
Holy shit.
Hines watches from the window.
Watch his dog.
Harry hands the leash to a boy, then runs with James to the apartment building.
Call an ambulance!
Inside, Hines sits and waits. In the hallway, James pounds on the door.
Linda, you in there? Linda!
Inside, Hines takes a gun from his pocket and fires through the door. He picks up Linda from the sofa. In the street, Sully arrives. He passes a patrolman.
Yeah, I'll be right there, sir. Just a minute.
Where the hell's the stakeout?
Under that mess.
Above, carrying Linda, Hines emerges onto a balcony. He looks toward a nearby roof. Below, Sully is briefed.
The woman on the sidewalk's dead. Neighbors say it's Hines' mother. What?
In the hallway.
Let's go in.
He's got a gun.
I don't care. We gotta get her.
But he's got a gun.
I don't care. I don't care.
James. James!
You know, forget about the gun, Harry. I could just kill myself banging into this door over and over.
Together, they smash in the door to the empty apartment. On the roof, Hines walks to a ledge and sets Linda down. In the street...
The two of you to go cover the fire escape.
Mark, why don't you go get it downstairs?
Mike. Now, I want you on the front door, all right?
Yes, sir, you got it.
James looks from the window.
He's on the roof.
Harry and James climb onto the balcony as Hines settles Linda on the ledge.
He's gonna throw her off.
No, he won't.
Below.
Sully, we've got a guy up on the roof over there.
Where? Up here?
No, right behind you next door.
Let's go.
On the balcony.
Let's rush him. We'll knock him right off.
Oh, no violence.
No. What are you, nuts? You saved that shit from Mississippi.
Hines holds Linda's hand, then kisses it. A spotlight is turned on him. Harry leaps from the balcony to the roof. James follows. Silently, James circles behind Hines.
Hines.
Hines turns to face Harry.
Let it go.
You still love me?
Yeah.
Come here. Come here to me.
I'm not gonna lift a finger to you, Hines. Those days are gone for me.
Just let me take the girl off the ledge before she falls. Do whatever you want to me. Just let me take the girl off the ledge.
In the street.
You get a clear shot, take him down. He's a cop killer.
I'll try, but one nudge and the girl's dead.
A sharpshooter watches from a nearby roof. Harry slowly walks toward Hines.
You don't want to hurt him now, do you?
As Hines ponders, James steals closer. Hines pulls his gun.
Taking him out.
He shoots Harry as the sharpshooter wounds him. James runs to help Linda. Hines grabs him and beats him. In the street.
There's too much going on here. I ain't gonna risk another shot.
On the ledge, Linda rouses. She nearly falls, but Hines catches her, dropping the gun. As he lifts her to safety, James leaps on his back.
Let it go!
Letting go of Linda, Hines struggles with James. She runs to Harry.
Linda! You look to me! Linda! That's James!
Behind.
Grabbing James around the neck, Hines throws him to the roof. Glaring about, Hines spots Harry and runs to him. As they struggle, Linda goes to the fallen James. Hines pounds Harry again and again as Harry just holds him. Pushing Hines onto his back, Harry smashes him, blow after blow. With Hines dazed, Harry stops, shocked by his own violence. Harry sits nearby, clutching his wounded shoulder, while Hines struggles to sit up, holding his bloodied face.
Sorry. Sorry.
He grabs Harry in a headlock and forces him backwards onto the ledge.
Harry! I know you, Harry. You've always been good. And I've always been bad, huh? Ain't that right, Harry? You love me. You ain't got the right. If I let you go, would you kill me now? I gave you the shot. Would you throw my ass off this roof, huh? Please? Good boy, you tell me this. What good are you to me now?
An arrow pierces Hines' back.
Okay.
He stands, slowly. He looks back at Linda. Then he turns and tumbles from the roof. In the street, Sully looks at the body, then back up to the roof. Linda and James approach Harry. Above, atop a nearby building, Castro and Willie watch, unseen. Castro holds a bow. In the street, as bystanders are interviewed, Harry trudges by.
Maybe there are Indians in the friggin' neighborhood. Hey. Somebody take a look at it.
Sully looks at Harry across the body of Hines. Confused and ashamed, Harry slowly turns away. Slumps against a doorway. The sun rises above Five Corners as police leave the scene. Later that day, inside the delicatessen.
Phil, you threw her out the window.
Such a cheerful woman.
She had a screw loose.
Still, I saw the stain on the sidewalk.
Sid.
Kemp, the black activist, enters.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Oh, my.
Could you tell me which way is Leland Avenue?
Two blocks. That way.
Thank you.
He starts to leave, then turns back.
You know, someone who I intend to work with once told me that a Negro couldn't walk through this neighborhood. Have you ever heard anything so absurd? Thanks for directions.
Outside, Kemp strides through the neighborhood, past curious bystanders. He approaches Harry's mother.
Excuse me, is this the Fitzgerald residence?
Yeah, it is.
Is Harry home?
Yeah.
I'm Samuel Kemp. I'm here to see him.
It's nice to see you, Samuel.
She shakes his hand.
Come on.
Together, they walk to the house. This described version of Five Corners was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Vern Margetts, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Marcus Soren. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Jodie Foster as Linda, Tim Robbins as Harry, Todd Graff as James, and John Turturro as Hines. The Penguin hops out of the bar to the sidewalk, to the amusement of a patron and passers-by. Additional cast in order of appearance: Murray, Michael R. Howard; George, Pierre Epstein; Mr. Glasgow, Jerry Hewitt; Castro, Rodney Harvey; Willie, Daniel Jenkins; Melanie, Elizabeth Barrage; Brita, Catherine DePrume; Sal, Carl Capicato; Boy in Pet Store, Jose Soto Jr.; Mrs. Fitzgerald, Kathleen Chalfont; Sully, John Seitz; Cop, Anthony Powers; Desk Sergeant, Jack McGee; Mazzola, Gregory Rosakis; Mrs. Sarantino, Rose Gregorio; Bartender, Mike Starr; Esther, Kit LaFever; Old Man in Bar, Jerome Collimore; Man in Coffee Shop, Bill Cobbs; Waitress, Francis Foster; Samuel Kemp, Eric LaSalle; Arthur, Ray Arana; Plainclothesman, David Brisbane; Neighborhood People, Robert Lempert and Keith Redden; Policeman, Pepe Douglas; Dan Florek; Alex Kremerevsky; Thomas Kudlek; Mike Lysenko; Regis Malavi; Frank Patton; James Ryan; Campbell Scott; Joel Siegel; Victor Slezak; and Richard Thompson. Woman in Deli, Mary Small. Stunt players: Billy Ananios, Brenda DeYoung, John Hayden, Don Hewitt, Jerry Hewitt, Kay Timler, Gary Tacken, and Suzanne E. Vaucher. Special thanks to the Mayor's Office of the City of New York, the Movie and Television Unit of the New York City Police Departments, Yonkers Raceway, Doug Battleman and Yamaha International, Henry Glover, Martin Nugia, Michael Oakes, the Taggart Driving School, High Weiss, Vince Sabali, Joe Campagna, Jack Guilford, Irving Ong, Sarah Wheaton, Matt Saver, Ken Meyer, and all at 26 Cadogan Square. Many thanks to the Penguins in this film. They were treated most respectfully, and no harm ever came to them in their work. Copyright 1987, Handmade Films, 1986 Partnership.